Welcome to The Ingredients, a podcast from Open Pantry Co. about building hospitality that matters. I'm Sean DeVries, and in each episode, I sit down with the operators, makers, and minds shaping the future of venues all across Australia. It's not just about what's on the plate or behind the bar. It's about the people, the systems, and the ideas driving hospitality forward. Now let's get into today's episode.
I always wanted to do drums though.
I can do a little bit of drums.
Okay.
But then my mum sold my drum kit. I'm a trained actor. Sean, you've got two under your
belt. Oh no.
Hey Alex.
Hello.
Who are you and what do you do?
That's a great question. I'm a small business owner.
Okay.
At Don's, where we're sitting in.
Yes.
And what do? I do different things.
Different things.
Different kinds of things. Depending on my week.
How did you start out in the industry?
But mainly cafes, really.
Why cafes?
I'm a trained actor.
Is all this just one acting situation?
Yeah, the whole thing's acting.
Okay.
I think it just fit into my life back then.
Sure.
Because I was like 6 to 2 and I used to go to study it at night.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it was it. But I think cafe hospitality is so hard. I think it's the hardest hospitality in all regions of hospitality.
What do you think that for?
Because I think people expect like a really high end service at ridiculous times in terms of like 7 o'clock in the morning, and they want it really quickly. It's crazy. Because people don't have patience in the morning either.
Yeah, true.
And it's interesting nighttime. People like on your team because alcohol.
Sure, always helps.
Yeah, they're like. And they're more relaxed.
More relaxed because of the alcohol and the time of day.
Yeah. Where like it's really, I found it really hard to like slow down in cafe hospitality.
Right. So is that why you wanted to do a wine bar?
No, I don't know that question. I don't know the answer. I don't know why. It just happened.
It wasn't a subconscious thing that you wanted a more relaxed venue and that you could chat with people and
no.
lean on your acting capability in order to
No, I didn't plan it out that well.
So it's just happened that
way? Yeah, it just happened. It just happened. This whole thing just happened, I guess.
When did you open this?
Two years ago.
So when was that?
2022.
Okay. And how did it come about that you owned it? Like, were you in the space to go and buy something? Did you drive past it one day?
I did drive past it one day.
And saw a Feliz sign or something like that?
A Feliz sign.
Okay.
And I had a deli at the time.
Yep.
And I was getting a little bit bored.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Found this place and then did a walkthrough and I just knew. I knew when I walked through it, I was like, this is it.
How quickly did you know?
Like the first 4 minutes.
Wow.
But only because of this is the only vision I had. I didn't have a vision for like these side tables or like this bench or like window seats. The only vision I had was this.
How'd you come up with that vision? Had you seen it somewhere before?
So when I went to Sunny's in Hobart, they did a much smaller version,
mm-hmm.
and I really liked how everything was in one room and all the energy was in like one room.
So going back to this, like when you had the vision for this, are you pleasantly surprised with what it's become 2 years later?
Very much so. I suppose I didn't think it could be this big. Like in my mind, it was really small project, I guess, with a small staff. We were writing dockets when we first opened because that's how slow I thought the place would be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, resonated with so many people, I guess, especially around this area. And what I really like about this place is it resonates with like older generation and the younger generation, which I think is like really cool.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of older people come in and actually enjoy it, where they don't come in and they go, oh, turn the music down, or this is a bit too much. It's like they're refreshed by it.
Yeah, sure.
Which is interesting because a lot of places I find cater for what they think the older generation want.
Mm.
And then like baby them in a way. Like they're trying to protect them.
Yeah. Spoon feed them almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think they like being challenged in a new environment. I would think that they'd be like, this is too much for me. Like, yeah, but it's opposite.
Mm.
It's like we got one guy, Lindsay, who's 84, and he comes in every day. Every day.
Is that the guy that drinks VB?
VBs.
We saw him last week.
Yeah, he's here every day.
I feel like he was just, I didn't think he was real because I'd seen your social media
starstruck.
Post about it. I was starstruck. I was like, it's him. That's him. I'm like, Diane, that's him.
Yeah.
I was like, it was awesome.
Yeah, people want photos awesome. Of him sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or they, so cool. This is the thing. They like to buy him drinks, but he does not like it.
Why?
He gets angry. He gets angry because he's like very old school. Like,
I need your help.
Yeah, I'll pay for myself.
Yeah, cool.
It's weird because we have to like deny people buying the drinks.
Right, okay.
Because then he gets angry, like frustrated. I'm like, well,
sure.
Like frustrated.
Don't want to do that.
You know?
So like when you open and you obviously had success pretty early on, like how early on did you sort of do it? Were you doing a shift and it became really busy? How quickly in the journey did that happen?
Well, I think why it happened it's the media. I think media. I think it plays a huge part in hospital now.
Yeah.
So many people, we're all on our phones now. So the more time that venue comes up on someone's feed, the more they want to go to that venue. But then I think you've got to back that experience up, right? When people come to the venue. I don't know. I don't know if I had a moment or a day where I was like, okay, this is a whole new ball game.
Mm.
I think I've just taken it like week by week.
Sure.
Said yes to the journey and just kind of let go of like what I thought it was going to be and just like see what happens.
Did you know you were going to get written up in the media?
No.
And was that happening across the board or was it just happening with Broadsheet or?
Across the board.
Okay.
Across the board. Maybe the first time they emailed me.
And let you know they were going to put something out and they visited?
Yeah, but they don't tell you when they're going to release it.
Sure. Okay.
Which is always fun.
Yeah. Because waiting.
Yeah, media. It's huge. Instagram's so powerful.
It's
a bit scary actually. Because I'd love to be a place where you're not on me, like the social media.
Yeah.
I'd love to open a venue where it's like doesn't have.
Right.
I'd love that.
So why don't you do that?
And not
have socials and not have a website.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know. I suppose this is scary.
Because it might be a backfire, right? You might not get busy.
Well, I think it would just take a lot longer.
Sure.
It would take, I reckon, like years.
Purely word of mouth. Right?
I think it'd be years.
Yeah.
I don't think if you did it, you'd have to do like on a small scale.
Mm. So how are you feeling about the place now 2 years on?
Yeah, good. Really good. It still challenged me, which is cool. One of the reasons I kind of got out of the first venue was it stopped challenging me.
Sure.
So I think 2 years on, I'm still getting challenged daily, which is cool.
Mm.
And like every year or every month, we are kind of growing. Like even if it's the food offering or the wine offering or like the staff, the culture, like it's always evolving. I find it interesting, like when you get new energy of new hires, like the venue kind of changes and adapts and flows.
Yeah, right.
And I kind of encourage everyone to go with that energy rather than like this is what we do and this is how we do it.
Mm.
So you either fit into these walls or you're not going to survive here, you know?
Do you find those being some of the key to success in keeping it fresh is having new people coming through the business on a semi-regular basis?
Yeah.
As you play the team?
Yeah, I think just trusting it as well. Trusting the process. And then following that journey and then getting to the end and go, oh, actually, that was a mistake. But, you know, you still had to do it.
Yeah.
Right, well, so many mistakes I've made in this venue. But I'm glad I went through with it. But I'm glad I followed it through.
What's one of the biggest ones that you've made?
I don't know. I don't know if I caught it. Yeah, I don't know. Because I'm like, it's a mistake.
But you've learned from it.
But I've learned from it. So sure. It's not a mistake.
So what's one of those challenges that you know you've learned from?
Trusting people really quickly.
As in you were doing that before?
I trust people very quickly.
Yeah,
very
sure.
Very quickly.
Yeah, I get that.
Like very quickly.
And you're trying to not do that?
No, I'm not trying. I still
you're
like that.
It.
Yeah, balancing it.
Sure,
being a little bit more, okay, just giving it maybe a few more weeks, you know? Where it's like not enough.
Not the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm like, here's the keys. Which I've done that before.
Right, okay.
And not that it's like a bad thing, but it could have been like, oh, I could have saved myself a little bit more energy, I guess, from that experience or time.
Sure.
Maybe value my time more.
Well, there you go. There's an insight for you.
There you go.
How do you keep being inventive around things like menu? Like I noticed that you do a lot of weekly specials and a lot of changes and that kind of stuff. Like, How do you balance that in such a small kitchen environment and small menu?
I can't take any credit for that. That's all Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Josh kind of does that.
Well, how does he do that? How do you help him do that?
Josh, how do you do that?
What?
How do you change the menu and get creative and what drives you?
Seasonality, budgets. I feel like you just got to be open to inspiration from anywhere.
Yeah, cool.
You know, you try to not think about what other people are doing, but, you know, you eat out and you go, wow, that's a had to play the combo that my love won't resonate with, and you eat somewhere else, and you go, I've done work well with that one.
Yep.
Having a killer sous chef also helps.
Hey, Will.
What about your wine? How do you think about your wine?
I try and strip it back as much as possible.
Why? Why don't you have 30 wines on the menu?
Because I think the wine...
Well, how many wines do you normally have on the menu, by the way?
Maybe 8, isn't it? Yeah, 6 to 8.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
They're always rotating.
Yeah, right.
But I think wine, like language, is very scary for the majority of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we can make that a little bit more approachable in terms of having a small wine list, and then we can, the staff, also get overwhelmed with new words and how to describe wines or the right way to explain wines.
Sure.
But if we I feel like we simplify it, the team can articulate it better, and then people can feel safer to go, okay, or ask questions, or well, I actually don't like that wine. The worst thing is when people when they try it and they feel pressured to say yes.
Yeah.
And then they sit on a glass of wine, especially like now, like a glass of wine is like $16-$17. Like you'd want to be happy with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Mm.
And then when you have customers that like do have more interest in wine and wine knowledge, like then you can go down that route. But I think majority, especially this venue, just try and keep it as simple as possible.
Is that how you think about the wine program as well? Is you thinking about those producers and how they talk about the wine or give those wines training or notes to your team, as well as just like the quality of the flavor and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think if you strip back, in my opinion, the winemaker's goal, I guess, is for people to drink their wine. That's the bottom line of it, right?
Yeah, it's the emotion.
And if I don't know if they... Maybe some winemakers out there, like, you have to communicate in this way. But if we're selling their wine, going through a lot of it, I feel like they don't really care. You know?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I understand.
Like, if people are drinking it and they like it, then they'll go source it out and buy it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about the industry at the moment? Are you feeling positive? Are you feeling excited? There's always a balance in the food media and general media about venues closing. And then the next day you'll have, you know, oh, here are the next 18 new venues you should visit this spring.
Mm.
There's this weird dichotomy of like how we perceive hospitality and the venues underneath that. Like, how are you feeling about it as a venue owner?
I don't really think about it. I don't really give too much energy of like thinking about the next month or next year. I kind of try and just stay week to week, I guess, and kind of because it. Hospital is so fast paced, and 1 week you can have a head chef and the next week he's giving you 2 weeks notice, and
he's
got to adapt, and like those things are the crucial things you've got to put your energy towards, and not, in my opinion, like, not what's this venue going to be like in a year.
Sure.
I guess.
How do you build a support system around you? Like, you've got a really great quality team. They're super engaging, they're super fun. There's a lot of challenges around that, right? As a hospitality leader, to keep that going and that kind of stuff. You're the kind of person who surrounds yourself with a lot of owners and people who work in the industry from outside your venue, or do you sort of draw on people in your personal circle to make sure that you're showing your best self, I suppose?
Yeah. I don't really hang out with that too many other business owners, I guess.
Sure.
Positivity is huge. Being positive towards your team, being positive towards yourself. It's so easy to go down a rabbit hole in terms of being negative.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I feel like I have weeks or days where if I focus on a thing that I'm frustrated about, I can get so negative about it and lose what's important. It's like, not step out and kind of reflect and go, okay, wait a minute. Like, yeah, this might be frustrating towards now, but what's it going to achieve? Continue going down that rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really easy to get swept up in like money and getting stressed about money.
Yeah, of course.
And I think, you know, as a business owner, you have to focus. Like, there is an element of your job there. You do have to be aware of that money, and you do have to be aware of like where that's going.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can easily just focus all your attention there. And then that's when I think it gets so dangerous.
Yeah.
Dangerous. I think for your own mental state, for the team, for the venue. Because you could just dig a massive hole and just be negative, negative, and negative, you know? Rather than focusing, okay, if I need to get cost per head up, let's go back to the roots, let's go back to the foundation. How can we what can we do back here rather than here? And I think if you're in this, I need to make more money state of mind, you kind of make silly mistakes.
Yeah.
You start cutting things that you shouldn't be cutting. And then you start getting, you know, instead of you put blame on other people rather than taking responsibility.
Yeah, for sure.
It's so easy to just blame someone, you know. Mm.
So how do you make sure you give yourself time out from the venue in order to bring your best self? Do you take scheduled days off? Do you take time away from with your partner? Do you play a sport?
Like, really bad at that. I was really bad at that. Sarah, actually, my partner, has actually helped me a lot to do that.
Okay.
I kind of give myself afternoons or mornings.
Okay.
I always have to be on, I guess.
Yep.
7 days a week.
Yep.
Because we're open 7 days.
Yeah,
so sure. I've got to be available when...
You're open.
The lights are off or someone needs me or someone calls in sick or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I've always got to be on, but then I've chosen to take those opportunities in the morning where it's like, okay, this email can wait.
Yep.
I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be really bad at it, especially on the phone, just like always check email.
Yeah, sure.
I need to get home after a 12-hour day and then be like, oh, I need to email this person. But it's more maybe not like whole days. It's more just...
Parts of days.
Feels long for me. Like having the morning off, it feels long.
Yeah, but it's work in progress, right?
Yeah. But I think it's really important to step away from the venue and trust.
Agree.
I think that's huge. That's okay. Huge.
How do you pick collaborations and that kind of stuff to work with? I imagine because you have been, you know, a very, very important venue the last couple of years since you've been open, I'd imagine you have a lot of people reaching out to collaborate with you, if it's to do a wine program or food program or something else in the venue or outside the venue. Like, how do you say no to certain things and say yes to the things you really want to do?
Yeah, great question. I think it's finding out their agenda, finding out what's driving them to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, more often than not, it's, in my opinion, probably for the wrong reasons. And then it's like, okay, well, I don't want to push that or give that energy to that because the end result is, it has to be on the same page, you know? And I don't love doing collabs where it's just like, oh, we're doing a collab.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to do a collab, I'm going to do a collab.
Yeah, for sure.
And put a lot of energy and time, you know, to make it good, I guess. But there's so many collabs happening now, which is great. But we do get a lot of people asking for collabs, which is cool. It's just you just got to find out why.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
and see if you fit into that.
Yeah,
what you want to do.
We go back and like, okay, when we first year opening, when we didn't have much following, would you want to do that then? You know.
Yeah.
Or is it? Do you want to do it now because we're cool?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's usually we're just on the same page, and then it's like, all right, well, you want to do what I want to do, and we can reach a big audience.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Help each other.
Yeah.
Hmm. I want to ask you a question about how to get people in the industry. I think you have no trouble in getting great staff here.
Hmm.
And we've talked about that before, which is awesome. The hospitality industry is seen as a place where you kind of do part-time jobs, especially in Australia, like the career is not there. My sort of thinking is from speaking to a lot of different people, like safety is obviously an issue. So we're seeing safety of staff being a really important thing that's come out. How do you think we make a hospitality industry that is even more inclusive and is a safe environment for people to work in Australia? Do you sort of feel it's a how are you feeling about that right now?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it comes down to the leadership and culture.
Yep.
Putting your foot down and going, this is not okay.
Yep.
And acting on it, you know? There's a few things in the media right now where I hear people do interviews or apologies, and some of the things are saying, I don't know.
You don't feel they're genuine?
You know, hiring 3 experts to create a safer culture in your venue. It's like, why do you need to hire 3 experts to know this is wrong? For me, it's like, you don't understand, you don't get it.
Yeah, you should be owning your venue.
Yeah, you should be protecting your team.
Yeah.
I think when people get bigger, when companies get really big, they forget the foundation of people. Those people represent you.
Mm.
And, you know, they work for you at the end of the day. And people, I think it's so quickly they forget about that.
Mm.
And they're just someone on the roster or they're just doing that shift to cover this person. Like, they become like objects rather than people.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I've been in companies that are a bit like that, where it's like, as soon as you want to move forward, they're like, we don't talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
know,
yeah.
It's like, we don't need you anymore. See you later.
Yeah. 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 Disposable.
Yeah. But they just, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe in my mind it's really simple, but maybe it's not as straightforward as I think it is. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really valid.
Mm.
Is it a challenge to keep staff safe in an environment which has alcohol in it? I mean, you're not a pub.
Yeah.
You're going to a bar and you're constantly getting pints and you got to watch people and that kind of stuff. This is obviously a sit down only venue.
Yeah.
Wine is a predominant beverage here.
Yeah.
You can probably control it a bit better than those kind of 300, 400 seat venues.
Yeah.
But like, is it a challenge sometimes?
It's just unpredictable.
People get out of control?
It's like people are unpredictable sometimes.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like my staff here, male, female, whatever gender, they know if they feel unsafe, I'll go talk to that person and kick them out. Regardless if they've done anything.
Sure.
If someone's feeling unsafe in this venue, there must be a reason. You know, they've got to back themselves.
Of course.
So
yeah.
Then I'll
they're not telling you for no reason.
Well, then I'll back them. It's like I'm not gonna kick them out in a nice manner. But just I've done it a few times here where it's just like this is not appropriate.
Yeah.
And you need to leave.
Yeah, right.
You know, they usually get
a bit antsy. Yeah.
But then I see that as my job. Well, my leaders here, that's an element of their job.
Mm. Yeah, totally agree.
Mm. So I think it's just got action straight away.
Mm.
It's not, there's no like, oh, do you think, well, let's explain, let's think about it more. It's like, no, like, you feel unsafe.
Yeah.
How do we resolve it now?
Mm.
I think that's why I'm reflecting, saying it's simple in my eyes.
Yeah, it's simple but hard, but it's still simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as well as like a bigger venue with more staff, more leaders,
sure,
more voices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More potentially trying to look a certain way with your peers. It's all like layers, right? But, you know, at the top, it has to start from the top and knowing like that's the standard and that's an actioning it, like actually actioning it, not talking about it.
Yep.
Tough question.
Thank you for answering. How are you feeling about the industry as we move into the end of 2024? Are you feeling, you know, really confident about what you're doing here at Don's and excited for the summer, spring and summer that's coming up?
Yeah, definitely for here. We've got a few things coming up that I'm like really excited for.
Amazing.
Kind of always trying to think of how we can better ourselves in this venue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of always exciting, especially in Melbourne in summer.
Yes.
The energy is completely different.
Yeah. Comes out of hibernation, right?
Yeah. Mm. And there's a few like conversations that I'd like to push and challenge, or
amazing,
like some ideas I have that I'd like to kind of put into play here and see if it works or see if it doesn't work.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I think the industry is right now, it's exciting. I think it's always exciting. I think the people that are in it for, you know, the wrong reasons, I guess, they don't survive, you know. Culture and safety, I think a lot more is going to come out. And so it should.
I agree.
It would just be interesting of how the community reacts to it, I guess. Like, is it just going to be a 5 minutes fame and or like the media is going to be talking about it for 5 minutes and then next week when...
Yeah, talking about another restaurant opening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we're talking about them getting hats and things like that, you know, and everyone's just going to forget.
Yeah.
Which has happened before.
Absolutely.
This does feel like a bigger scale, but who knows?
It does feel a bit different.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really challenging thing, but I think is a good thing in the long run for the industry.
Yeah.
Well done on creating such a safe space, and it's such an exciting space for us to come into. The last 2 years, I feel humbled that we know you. I feel lucky as an industry that we get to experience venues like yours. I think they're really important for connection and belonging, both of customers, but more importantly, your team. And it's just been good to chat with you today, man.
No, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Very nice words. Connection, great word.
Connection.
That's a wrap.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Ingredients. Now, if this episode has sparked something for you, like an idea or a question or a reminder, we'd love for you to share it with those in the industry that you know. So hit follow or subscribe on your podcast app or wherever you're listening or watching to this from. And if you've got 30 seconds, a quick rating or review always makes a huge difference for us. and helping others find the show too. You can also follow us at Open Pantry Co. on Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, or TikTok to keep up with what we're building. Finally, we've also got a newsletter which comes out every other Friday called The Sandwich Press. But don't worry, all the links to find out all about this are in the show notes of this podcast. Until next time, keep creating the kind of venues that people want to come back to. Cheers.